Well, we are having a good day, but there's so much to try to fit in today. We have one other thing we haven't mentioned just yet, and that was that our incredibly talented worship team decided to record a song called Reckless Love, which is maybe someone that you've heard recently. If not, then you need to hear it. It's amazing. So it is actually out today. You can buy it if you want to, or you can stream it on Spotify, listen to it on iTunes, whatever. But at the end today, after I kind of shut up, then what we're going to do is we're going to play the video, which we recorded next door in our new building. So in case you don't know the story, we bought this building a few years back. God gave us all the money, which is a miracle. And then we decided we would kind of, it says don't test the Lord your God, but we decided to test him again and said, Lord, we'd love next door as well. And so that was valued at ridiculous money, more than I have in my bank account. And eventually we got sale agreed at $175,000. We had one problem. We got sale agreed at $175,000. We just didn't even have 75p. So we had to really, really pray. And in a space of 3 months, God gave us all the money, which is absolutely amazing. So God is worthy to be praised in every way. And so now what we did was we went about a month or two ago, we went next door and we sang Reckless Love. We sang this song because we're just overwhelmed by his incredible reckless love that would love a wretch like me. But then he turns me around from a sinner to a saint, and that's what it says in his word. And so we recorded the song, we put the song out there, and really the whole heart of it was to, for multiple different reasons, but some of them were this: to encourage our team, because we have an amazing team, wanted to encourage them to use their gifts and talents that God had given them, to go next door and record a video in the midst of the to say, hey, we have come to transform this place and for everyone to see it, whoever wants to see it. And then, of course, any money that we raise, we'll put it into trying to raise this place from the ground again. And over this last few weeks, God has been talking to us about Nehemiah, which is an amazing story from the Old Testament. If you haven't read it or if you've forgotten it, go check it out. But he's a guy who looks from afar off, from 800 odd miles away, and he decides to go and to reach out to people far from him because they're his people. And he says, the temple's being rebuilt, but the walls are still in ruins. I wonder if we would rebuild the walls, would it restore a nation and a city? And that's exactly what it did. And so over this last few weeks, we've been feeling God speaking to us and saying, hey, if we will rebuild next door, it won't be for our fame, but it'll be for his fame. And it'll renew a city, bring life to a city that was known for St. Patrick 1,500 odd years ago, but that's too long ago. God says, I want to do something today, and I'm looking forward to doing something today, right now, to transform and change the nation that we have around us. And so who knows what God can do as we simply step out in faith and obedience and rebuild this building. So pray for that. We are getting geared up for that. We're panicking about it because it's crazy, but God is amazing, and we know it's a God dream when it's so big we can't accomplish it in our own strength. So can we pray for a moment, and then we're going to look at God's word just for a few minutes today. Lord, I thank you for your presence today. I thank you, Lord, that you are victorious. And so today we are going to get excited about a Jesus who is alive, because our God is alive and not dead. There are many other gods out there, but there are no God like our God, because no God could do what he did. They're all counterfeits. They're all not even close to him. He is the one true king. He is the one true God. And Lord, we are so blessed and so privileged and so honored that we can call you our Savior because you died and rose again for us. And so today, Lord, I pray for these next few moments that, Holy Spirit, that you would enable me, but also that you would touch each and every one of our hearts, that we could receive from you and that we could hear from you afresh. And maybe, just maybe, it would change our lives forever. Lord, I pray today that you will come and do all that you need to do in your precious name. Amen. Amen. So this last few weeks, we're just going to chat for a few minutes, and then we're going to have fun with the animals. Don't worry. They're getting set up over this next few minutes, and then you can go and pet giant bunnies. We're going to have giant bunnies, pony rides, whatever you want to do. We're going to do all of that. But this morning, just for a few moments, we're going to talk about impossible. So over this last few weeks, we've been talking about impossible things, how our God is able to do impossible things through ordinary people like us, which is good news, because hopefully you're ordinary. If you're not, then that maybe means something else. But hopefully you're an ordinary person who needs an extraordinary God to come and transform your life. And here's the thing that I've learned about God, is that he takes us just the way we are, and then he does incredible things through us and with us. It's not about your personality. It's not about the qualities you have, and those are all can be good or bad or somewhere in between, but it's about your relationship with a living Savior, an alive Jesus. And so today we've looked at Moses from the Old Testament. We've looked at Mephibosheth. We've looked at Esther. We've looked at all of these different people over this last few weeks. And then last week we looked at ourselves and we said, okay, if God's able to do it through all of them, what can he do through me? And so this morning, what we want to do is take it that step further and finish on Jesus. Because the reason that we can come to God, the reason that we can ask Jesus into our lives, the reason that we can be free in the midst of a broken world is because of what Jesus did on the cross. And so for a few moments, we're going to think about this impossible Jesus who did the impossible that nobody else could do. And if you're here today and you don't know him, then it has the power to change your life. And if you do know him, maybe it just puts an extra kick to your step and you just say, right, I'm going to go after God even more. I'm going to allow God to use me even more, because maybe, just maybe, I'm here for such a time as this, as Esther said, and maybe God has me here for a purpose and for a calling and for a destiny. And if I don't live for this, here's the thing, it's all or nothing. We just live in worthlessness. We live in emptiness. We just live thinking, is there not more to life than this? And of course there is. There is life in Jesus, and life to the full, and life to the more, and life to the abundant, and it's just overflow after overflow after overflow, even in the midst of storms. This is the good news of the gospel, and this is the good news of Jesus. It seems impossible, but not with God. And that is the good news this morning, not with God. So no matter what we're facing, no matter what we're going through, God is incredible. Let's think about Jesus this morning. Think about this. He came for love. He came because he loved us. He came to transform us. In reckless love, it says that he left the 99 to go after the one, because Jesus loves lost things. He came to find broken things, and he came to restore them. He didn't come to just put them on his mantelpiece and just say, oh, doesn't that look nice? And maybe one day it'll be better. He said, no, I've come to transform you. I've come to change you. I've come to put my life inside of you and to give you a future and a hope. And so the number one thing that Jesus came for was love. And I think when we look around in our world today, love is at a short supply. There's not that much love in the sense of the love that we need. A love that says, I'm there for you in spite of what you might do. I'm there for you in spite of what might go wrong. I love you. This is what Jesus said. He gave us this message right from the beginning. When he left heaven to earth, it's because he loved us. When he went to the cross, it was because he loved us. We talk about Good Friday, but Good Friday was a difficult day because Jesus went to the cross. But it was a good day because he defeated our sin and he went to the cross. And so this morning we've got to know that Jesus gave up everything so that we could have eternal life with him, so that we could have all that he won. And the Lord is here this morning, and Jesus is here this morning, and he wants us to know what his heart was. His heart was that we would live as free men and women. His heart was, just like in the book of Genesis, that we would walk with God, that we would know God, that we would live our lives with God, and that we would do impossible things for the kingdom of God. In other words, nothing would be off limits. Last week we read this. I want us to see this verse this morning. Philippians 4:13. We love this verse. For I can do everything, or I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. I can do everything through Christ who gives me strength. And here's what God just kept saying to me over and over and over again this week, is this is the way he always intended it, that we would do everything, that we could do anything, that we could do everything, that we could do the impossible, because we'd always do it with God and he would be our strength. But of course, sin came into the world and we got deceived. And back in the garden, we know the story of the enemy comes like a snake and he deceives Adam and Eve. And what was the lie that he sowed to them? He deceived them with a lie like this. He says, hey, you could be just like God. In fact, you mightn't even need God. Maybe you could do life without him. And this is the lie and this is the deception that we're still trying to grapple with today. Could I just live without God? Could I kind of just do it my way? Do I need anybody else? Do I need to depend on anybody else? I've got to do it in my strength. And of course, that's sometimes where we find ourselves. And yet very, very quickly we realize when we wake up in the morning, we go to sleep in the evening, I'm just not enough. I'm a broken mess. If people knew what I was like, they'd call me a fraud. If people knew what my heart was thinking, if people knew what was in my mind, they wouldn't follow me. They wouldn't listen to me. I need something more. And inside of us, we're all screaming for something more. But it's what do we place in that more? What is it, the thing that we find? And so we go looking for it in multiple different places and multiple different sources. We go looking for it in all the places that we can think of. And yet this morning I've got good news for you. You'll meet it in the person of Jesus Christ. He's our risen, glorious, wonderful Savior. And when he went to the cross, he defeated sin and death. And suddenly this verse becomes active again. I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. The way God always intended it. When Jesus went to the cross, what was he doing? He was defeating sin. He was taking back all the curse had brought. And he was bringing us back to better days, to the days that he intended. And so this morning we're sitting here, we're thinking, what's my life about? What is the purpose that God has got for me? Is there even a God? Is there a God for me? And of course there is. There is a God for you. And it's whether we turn to him and accept him and ask him into our lives, because he has won it and he has done it all for us. And so this morning, I make no excuses for it. We're going to get a bit excited because of what Jesus has done. The enemy sold us a lie, but Jesus came with incredible truth. Think about just for a moment what the enemy did. He destroyed our relationship with God. If you're a parent here this morning, think about it like this. You've got a son or a daughter, and then suddenly something comes in between you, and your relationship's never the same again. You can always see them. You can always hear them. You can always be around them, but there's something not quite right in the relationship. It's broken. It's just not the same. They don't want to come near me the same. They want to listen to me the same. They seem distracted by other things. Sin came in and it distracted us from our wonderful Savior. Sin came in and it destroyed our relationship with our incredible God. And there's many other things that can get in the way, but don't take it away from that simple truth that God wants a relationship with you, and you were made for a relationship with God. Nothing makes sense outside of that. When you have that, suddenly everything starts to fit. The enemy destroyed our relationship with God. The enemy destroyed it our way. He destroyed our way of life. He destroyed our way of life. This world was never intended to have sickness, never intended to have disease, never intended to have all those bad, horrible things that come to rob us of our life. We were meant to live with God in prosperity, in overflow, in the garden, with just more than enough, with more heaven on earth. We weren't having to wait for a day that would come. We would be in that day with Jesus, with the Lord, and it would be incredible. And God says this morning that you can have that with him, but the enemy came to destroy your life. And last quick thing before we move on is that it separated us from God. It separated us from God. Whenever the enemy came and he deceived us, it separated us from God. And so we were with God. We were in right relationship with him. We had what we wanted. We felt at one with him. We had purpose. We had life. And suddenly we were separated. And you could be here this morning thinking to yourself, man, I feel like there is more to my life. I feel like I need to have more. I feel like there is a separation. There is a lostness in my life. But what is it? I've got good news for you. It's Jesus. It's the same Jesus from 2,000 years ago. He's the same Jesus today, and he wants to transform your life. Whenever we look at Philippians 4:13, I can do all things. When sin came, it's like, maybe I can do some things. Maybe if I strain hard enough, maybe if I work hard enough, I'll achieve. Maybe if I just get lucky enough, I'll make it. And God says this morning, you don't have to live in hopelessness like that. You don't have to live wondering here, there, or whatever. You can live in peace this morning, in security, in hope this morning, because you are in Christ and Jesus lives in you. It's a wonderful, wonderful miracle that only God can do. Maybe you're struggling this morning. Maybe you've got no confidence. Maybe you're just thinking, where is the hope in life? Our hope is in Jesus. And then, of course, the cross comes and the resurrection comes, and everything is turned around. And here's a few things today before we read Mark 16 of what Jesus destroyed. And I want us to remind ourselves of it again, because I know a large portion of us are saved and we know Jesus, but it's important that we remind ourselves of what Jesus did. He destroyed our shame. I've written down a few things, but just to try and get to our hearts this morning, to remind us of our value, to remind us of our destiny. He destroyed your shame. And yet how many of us are waking up every day and looking at ourselves in the mirror and we're saying, I'm ashamed of who I am. I'm ashamed of what I've done. And shame to that degree is fine, but if it lingers for too long, if it doesn't cause us to turn to Jesus and get forgiveness, then it has no place in our lives, because Jesus has defeated our shame. He's defeated that. And yet there's so many of us, if we're not careful, we start to live in a place of shame. We start to think, I'm disqualified for this, I can't do that, I'll never achieve this, because the shame is just consuming me, it's smothering me. And God says this today, if we come to him, there's forgiveness. If we come to him, he takes away all of that from our lives, he lifts that all off of our lives, and suddenly we are free men and women again, able to enjoy life, and life to the fullest like God has given us. When Jesus came, he destroyed our sin, and no matter whether we like it or not, all of us, whether it be our thoughts or our actions or simply just being born, the Bible tells us that we were born in sin. It seems horrible to think that, but that was the truth. We were born in sin. Why? Because of what the enemy had done. He had deceived us. He said you could be better than God. You could live without God. Maybe you don't even need God. And suddenly that lie creeps in our heart, and then suddenly sin starts to abound, and it starts to take root, and it takes over, and it overwhelms. But God says this morning, when I went to the cross, I defeated sin. I destroyed sin. And if you're a believer this morning and know the Lord, then you do not have to live in sin any longer. The Lord has set you free, and he wants you to conquer every form of that in your life through his power and through his strength. We said last week about fear, but it's important to mention it again. When Jesus went to the cross, he defeated fear on the cross. When the disciples found him, when the stone was rolled away, he came out and suddenly fear was defeated with his wonderful, wonderful love. What are the things that grips us? What are the fears? Fear of the future. Will I ever make it to the end? Will I ever have enough money to survive? Will I ever be able to provide for my family? All of these fears that want to grip our lives, and so therefore they dictate how we live. And God says this morning, you can be in rest in me. There's rest in me. There's rest in Jesus. There's peace in Jesus. That fear can be dissolved, and suddenly you can live a life. Wow, is it possible that you could live a life without fear? And the Lord says this morning, absolutely yes. Couple other quick things. He destroys the lies that maybe we've been believing about ourselves or been believing about somebody else. He destroys those lies. He destroys the separation. He destroys the isolation. He destroys the loneliness, and he restores all and destroys the curse of sin completely, all off your life. That's what Jesus does. That's what Jesus did. That's what is available to us today if we simply ask him to come into our lives and we start to follow after him. His wonderful grace transforms everything. Don't waste another moment without him, because he is truly wonderful. We talked about impossible this last few weeks. Jesus simply did the impossible. He did the absolutely impossible. He died and rose again. No one else had ever done it before. And when he did, he gave us access in a way that we've never had before since the garden to be able to come back to him and live for him and live with him. And that's good news this morning. I want us to read this in Matthew, in Mark 16, verse 1. I'm going to read it this morning, just a few words from just Mark 16. Again, remind us of what the Lord has done. It's quite small, but hopefully you're going to see it. It says, "Now when the Sabbath was passed, Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James, and Shalom brought spices and they might, that they might come and anoint him." So they're going to the tomb. Very early in the morning, on the first day of the week, they came to the tomb when the sun had risen. The sun has risen, but they're looking for another sun. They're wondering, what about Jesus? And they said among themselves, "Who will roll away the stone?" Because there was a stone in front of the tomb where Jesus was. Verse 4, "When they looked up, they saw that the stone had been rolled away, for it was very large. But when on entering the tomb, they saw a young man clothed in a long white robe sitting on the right side, and they were alarmed. But he said to them, 'Do not be alarmed. You seek Jesus of Nazareth, who was crucified. He is risen.'" Incredible, wonderful news that transformed everything from that day forward forever. He is not here. He's not in this tomb anymore. Everything has been defeated. The stone that was meant to keep him safe or to keep him in, it's been rolled away. The angels have taken it away. He is no longer here. He is victorious. He is who he said he was. He was the Son of the living God. There was nobody like him. And he is here this morning, and he is here to transform your life and maybe rise us up from the depths of despair so that we can know a new life in our lives, so that we can know what living really is rather than what we go through at the moment in times of life. It says this, "Do not be alarmed. He is arisen. He is not here. See the place where he led him, but go tell his disciples and Peter that he is going before you in Galilee. There you will see him as he said to you." So they went out quickly and fled from the tomb, for they trembled and were amazed, and they said nothing to anyone, for they were afraid. Can you imagine the scene? I mean, we have the benefit of hindsight. We have the benefit of reading the book to say, okay, I know it's true. I know it happened. I can read it. I can read it over and over again. We get to the point of it where we can even be complacent about it or even forgetful about it. But these are the early disciples, and they're going to the tomb, and they're not quite sure what's happened, because even though they've walked with Jesus and they've been with Jesus for 3 odd years, it's hard to get your head around this. Because back in those times, there was loads of people claiming to be Messiahs. There was lots of people claiming that they could be the Messiah and that they would die and rise from the dead. And they never did. But Jesus did. And so they're going around thinking, we're going to the tomb, we're going to the tomb, we're going to anoint him, we're going to bless him, they're going to do the right thing. And then they get there, and imagine the scene, imagine their faces when they get there, and the stone is rolled away. First thing is probably, who stole the body? And then they get in and they see someone in there, and they start to talk to them. Angel starts to speak. He says, "He's not here. He's risen just like he said. Everything he said was true. Go and tell the world." And they're like, "What?" I mean, this is incomprehensible. It's just so hard to get our heads around it. And yet Jesus rose from the dead. And if he rose from the dead, then everything he said is true. And if everything he said is true, then there's new life for you. I don't know how that rhymed, but there you go. There's new life for you. There really, really is. There really is. And we can get distracted, and we can get pulled away, and our own thoughts, and outside thoughts, and inside thoughts, and whatever thoughts you have, and all these things to try to deceive us, or that God's not intellectual. God's incredibly intellectual. That God's not scientific. God's incredibly scientific. He's amazing. And we can get pulled away by all these different things. And yet this morning, God says, just simply rest in that knowledge. I was there, and then I was not there, because I rose from the dead. I am who I say I am. I am the resurrection, the truth, and the life. I have come to transform your life. That is incredible news, and it's available to us today. And so for the last few minutes, I want to just think about what that means for us. What did it mean for us when Jesus did what he said he set out to do? What did it mean for us when Jesus went to the cross, rose again? Let's think just for a moment again to remind ourselves, to refresh ourselves of all that he had done, to bring us back, maybe if you're a believer this morning, not living in complete freedom, to bring us back to freedom. And maybe if you're far from God, to allow you to walk into that freedom that you've maybe never felt before. The first thing is this, that Jesus gave us access to, is unconditional love. We mentioned at the very beginning, our world is short of real love. That real love that says, no matter what you do, I still love you. No matter what you do, I still love you. This is the head-wrecking love that God has for us. He sees every single thing that we've done. He's actually seen every single thing that we will do. And yet inside of that, he still gives us freedom and to make free choices. And that's the amazing part about God. He thinks and operates on a different level to us. But the love that he extends to us says, you can make a mistake. The love that he extends to us says that I will forgive you no matter what. The love that extends to us is this incredible, unconditional love that nobody else can offer, only him. And this morning, we need to know that unconditional love in our lives. When we look around, we can see very quickly our love in the world has been twisted. It's been abused. I mean, you only have to go out for just a few miles here and a few miles there, or go on a mission trip to the far end of the world, or go wherever you need to go, do you see how twisted our love has become? It's love with strings attached. It's love that says, if you'll do this, then maybe I'll do that. And if I don't do that, then do something more, and then I'll maybe love you. And as long as you don't change, then I'll continue to love you. It's such a twisted love. It's such a conditional love. It's such a messed up love. And we get trapped into that. And then we say, well, that's kind of what I have to do, because otherwise who else will love me? And then we get in these incredible spaces of, I've got to be here. I've got to be there, because there's nobody else there that'll love me like they do, or he does, or she does. And God says this morning, I have an unconditional love. An unconditional love. Second quick thing this morning is unmerited favor. Think about this morning. You need favor in your life? Jesus has more than enough favor. He has unmerited favor for you. In other words, you didn't deserve it, you didn't earn it, but he gave it absolutely to you. He has favor for your life. There's favor. I mean, our pastor from the old church from Listerdale used to say it all the time. Bosses should be advertising, Christians only, because they carry the favor of God in their life. They're going to benefit your business, whether you believe in God or not, because Christians carry favor. This is who we are. We are men and women of favor, even in the midst of the storms. We need to know that this morning. Even in the midst of the trials you go through, even no matter what you face, you are a man and woman of favor if you know God. We need to remind ourselves of that. The enemy wants to try to steal that from us. Nothing ever works out good for me. That's lies. God's turning every bad thing around for good if you love him and if you're called according to his purposes. He's turning every single thing around. Now, we might be right in the middle of it, and it may not be nice, and it may be painful, but hold on. God has a plan. He's turning something around. He's doing most likely something deep in you, and once you start to get it, then we'll start to move on. But God has incredible plans for your life, and it comes through unmerited favor. And then what about his amazing grace? His amazing grace. His amazing, amazing grace that says, no matter what, come to me. But here's the good news about God's grace. And this is something we need to know about his grace. And we could do study after study of that, but we don't have time this morning on it. But to suffice to say this, his amazing grace not only allows us to come back to him and have forgiveness through him, but he has this unbelievable encouragement that says, just as soon as you come back, right, come on, you can do it again. Only you can do it even better. It's that kind of grace. You know, when somebody comes to me or somebody comes to you and you say, hey, okay, I'll forgive you, or I'll give you another chance. But the fact that then that you would turn into a champion for them and spur them on and even give them encouragement can sometimes be a hard thing to do, because I'm still stinging from the wound. I'm still stinging from the thing that they have done, or I'm still trying to get my head around, I know I should extend forgiveness, Lord, but it's really, really hard. And so we do the right thing. We're like, okay, I'm gonna forgive them because that's what God says. But I'm still working that out in my life. I'm still working that out in my heart. And Jesus says, no, you come to me. I'll extend forgiveness because I've already died for you. The moment you turn to me, the moment I've already turned to you. I'm like that prodigal son. I'm like the father waiting for the son to come back. As soon as he comes back, what is it? It's a party. It's an absolute party because the son has come home. It's not sit there for 20 minutes and if you're really good, we'll think about it again. Or sit there and once you prove yourself, then we'll do more. God says no this morning. He says, as soon as you come back, my amazing grace is this. Forgiveness straight away, and then it's ready to go. It's blessing. It's favor. It's love. It's all the good things that God has for us, because he is an incredible God. It doesn't seem to make sense, but that's his problem, not yours. You just receive it. You just receive it. He is quite fine the way he has set it up. And it's unbelievable, amazing, amazing grace that we cannot fathom. But what he extends to us, and we need it, because I know I do. We can get caught up in justice, like they don't deserve this and they don't deserve that. Once we start to do that, we're already snookered ourselves, because we deserve nothing. But his amazing grace says, come on, you can do it. Imagine the story of the woman caught in the very act of adultery. You would think, oh, I don't know how we would react in that story, but I think it would be a lot different to Jesus. He meets the woman. He knows everything's happened. He knows everything that's gone on there. He looks at their accusers and he says, hey, guys, I mean, if you want to talk about justice, then you better line up too, because we're all ready to get stoned. I'm the only one that's perfect. I'm the only one that can do it, but I can do it if you need me to. And then quite quickly, they start to filter away. They get out of there because they know we've sinned too. We've sinned too. We've got sin in our lives too. We've got to get out of here. Jesus lets them go. He just lets them go. And then it comes to the woman. He says, hey, I find no fault in you. Go and sin no more. In other words, he encourages her to go for life again. He says, he doesn't say, sit here and wait till we think about this and we pray about this and we'll analyze this and we'll come up with a 10-part plan or whatever we need to come up with. And all of those things can be healthy and good. But I believe what Jesus was trying to show us is his amazing grace comes without limits. It's incredible. It's this wonderful, wonderful, amazing grace that just sets us free. Amazing, amazing grace. Couple of last quick things, then we're going to finish off with a couple of verses, and then we're done. He gives us his purpose, passion, direction, hope. He gives us his amazing forgiveness, which we talked about already. And the question is this, and when it comes up in verse 11, do you believe? It says this in verse 11 of Mark 16. When they heard that he was alive and had been seen by her, speaking of Mary, they did not believe. So even back then, it's just happened. The news is rippling through. I mean, there's no Twitter, there's no Facebook, but this thing is going, because Jesus, did he really rise from the dead? This news is starting to go. Verse 11 says, but there were still people that just didn't believe. Just didn't believe. Just what we find today as well. Verse 12, after that, he appeared in another form to two of them. So now it's Jesus appearing to two of them. And as they walked and went into the country, they went and told it to the rest, but they did not believe them either. And so back then, it's the same today. We're here today, and we have to make a decision. Do we believe in this thing, or do we not? You said it right at the beginning. It is all or nothing. Everything is available, or nothing is available, because it's all through Jesus. It's an exclusive message, but once you have him, it's inclusive. You can have everything you need, because Jesus has everything you need. But there's only one way in, and it's through Jesus. You've got to believe in him. You've got to follow him. You've got to trust him. But when you have him, you've got everything. You've got absolutely everything. If you don't have him, virtually Philippians 4:13 says we've got absolutely nothing. I can do all things through Christ, or I can do nothing through Christ. I've got everything, or I've got nothing. It's an all or nothing gospel. And I know the kids are having fun, but just focus for just one more minute. Jesus gives us access to everything. And here's the saddest thing of the story. He could have done everything, which he did, and he transformed the world for everything, for everyone. And it could mean everything to you this morning, or it could mean absolutely nothing. That's how crazy it is. He rose from the dead, defeats sin, defeats death, everything transformed, all of these incredible things on the table, unconditional love, unmerited favor, amazing grace, unbelievable forgiveness, all of those incredible things, and yet it could mean nothing to you. Or for some of us, it's everything. It's our whole lives, it's our whole world, it's our eternity forever in paradise with Jesus. Or it's the complete opposite. So this morning, guys, there's only one question we need to finish with, and that is this. Do we believe? Do we believe in Jesus? Do we believe in what he said? Do we believe in all that he achieved? And if we believe, have we staked our life on him? Because if we do, we have everything. We have the keys to life. We have the keys to heaven. We have access to the Father. We have everything that we need. If we don't believe, then we have absolutely nothing. Come on, let's stand. We're going to finish with a song. We're going to pray. But I want us to just draw our hearts just for a moment and ponder that question and ponder that thought. Hey, 1 second, bro. Verse 14, as we just want to read just a couple of verses, just we're finishing. Says this, later he appeared to the 11 as they sat at the table and rebuked their unbelief and hardness of heart because they did not believe those who had seen him after he had risen. But he said, I'm alive. And then he says this because of his amazing grace and favor. He just says, time to go, guys. Go into all the world, preach the gospel to every creature. He who believes is baptized and will be saved. But he who does not believe will be condemned. And these signs will follow those who believe. In my name they will cast out demons. They will speak with new tongues. They will take up serpents, and if they drink any deadly thing, it will by no means hurt them. They will lay hands on the sick, and they will recover. It's an all or nothing gospel. We have everything, or we have nothing. We become like Christ, and we do the impossible in our lives through his power and through his strength. And so this morning, we're going to finish with the question, do we believe? And if we believe as Christians, then we go further and we go deeper than we've ever been before. And if we don't, do we believe as non-believers in a sense, then we have a decision to make. Do we accept Jesus or not? What do we do with him? And if you're far from him, maybe this is a great day for you to come back and say yes to the Lord. And maybe you're feeling uncomfortable. That's fine. The Holy Spirit is called the Great Comforter, and he will come and he will give you the comfort and peace that you need as you accept him.